This is John Finnemore's souvenir programme.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. There's absolutely no cause for alarm, but if there is a doctor on board, could he or she make themselves known to the cabin crew? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain again. I'm glad to say we do have a doctor up here now, but we're having some difficulty communicating with him. If there is a Greek interpreter on board, would they make themselves known to the cabin crew? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's me again. We found the Greek interpreter. I can't say he's hit it off with the Greek doctor. I'm not sure what the argument is about, because it's in Greek. But it's pretty heated, so if there are any professional mediators, or, I don't know, peacekeepers, or, I'm going to say riot control officers, or if they'd make themselves known to the cabin crew, thank you. So, events have continued to spiral up here, and we're now going into the details. Please make yourself known if you are any of the following: a nightclub bouncer, a prison warder, a locksmith, an expert in rare tropical poisons, a firefighter, a dog catcher, or a priest. Also, we need another doctor.
John?
Yes, Laurie?
You did promise that if we got another series...
Oh, yes. I did, didn't I? Yeah. Well, OK, then. OK, but only two or three.
Yeah, sure. Brilliant. Thanks, John.
OK. And now, it's time for Pet Tips with Uncle Laurie.
Welcome to Pet Tips. Not for the owners, but for the pets. You know, about how to get more food and that. For instance, dogs. He didn't throw it. I know it looked like he did, but he never let go. No, I don't know why he'd do that. Maybe he's just a psychopath. Stick insects, bad news, guys. They're on to you. The cover is blown. Move on to stage two. I repeat, move on to stage two. Cats. Who am I kidding? You don't need tips from me. You guys have got it sorted. If anything, I should be getting tips from you. Seriously, send me some tips, cats.
Look, this is the one-way street, you know. Come on.
This is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, quiet night in the pub, just the boys together.
Mind you, don't look, but see that hen party at the corner table?
Yeah?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure the tall one's looking at me.
Well, she's looking over here.
Yeah, at me.
No offence, but I don't think it's at you, mate.
Oh, now, lads, don't.
What, you think she's looking at you?
Well, of course she's looking at me.
Oh, seriously, don't.
Well, why shouldn't she be looking at me? I mean, I'm the best-looking peacock here.
Well, are you? You want to prove it?
No, don't. You'll set me off.
Yeah, very happy to, mate.
Guys, I've only just packed it away.
Get a load of this!
Right, here we go.
Sorry, what just happened? Did the world's shyest geisha just discreetly open her tiniest, plainest fan? I thought we were talking about tails. Get a load of this!
Here I go. We'll get a load of this!
I'm sorry, I don't think you boys could have properly seen this.
You see, I told you.
Yeah, you did.
Always leave a bar when the peacocks arrive.
Don't go in the pond. That's not you. That's turtles.
And now we join Ian Chalmers for another edition of Radio 4's newest quiz show, Which of These Cats is Bigger Than the Other?
Hello, and welcome to Which of These Cats is Bigger Than the Other? So, the rules are explained, I think, in the title. Or at least heavily implied. Each week, we ask our contestants to look at two very similarly sized domestic cats and use their skill and judgment to work out which one is, in fact, slightly bigger. It's hard to explain, but in the room, when we came up with it, it seemed... I mean, we all loved it. And now... Anyway, now this is our second episode, of course, and we've had a lot of feedback from listeners already. Some of it a little harsh and dismissive, I think, but we're keen to learn. And so we've addressed one of the most common criticisms of our format, which is that it was frustrating for listeners not being able to see the cats themselves and play along with the game. Well, in the future, we hope to put some pictures up online. But for now, we've done, I think, the next best thing, and we've... hidden the cats from the contestants as well. So that we're all on a level playing field. I mean, again, when we thought of that, it seemed like a brainwave, but now I... Anyway, let's meet our contestants. First, Dame Eleanor Conway, conductor of the Royal Northern Symphonia in Gateshead. Eleanor, welcome.
I'm sorry, I don't understand. We're not going to see the cats.
I know. It's just anyway, so, Eleanor, do you have any cats yourself?
Yes, I have two.
Two? Really? And is one of them bigger than the other?
Yes.
Then you'll be at something of an advantage tonight, then.
I don't see how.
And your opponent, Professor Gregory Hughes, mathematician and probability expert at the University of Cardiff. Welcome.
Thank you.
As a probability expert, Greg, what do you reckon your chances of success are today?
50%.
It's as simple as that, is it?
It seems that way, yes.
All right. Well, over to our resident vet, Anne Haycroft, to tell us about the cats that we're going to... I mean, I can hear it now I'm saying it. Honestly, though, in the room, it just seemed... Anyway, Anne!
Hi, Ian. Well, cat number one is Boots. He's a black and white cat. And cat number two is Tigger. He's a tabby cat.
I see. And will those colours help our contestants in any way?
No. No.
Good. Maybe it'll be fine. So, Gregory, let's get up a crunch. Which cat do you think is bigger than the other?
I just don't know.
Obviously not, but just... just have a go.
Tigger.
Interesting choice. What made you go for Tigger?
I'm just guessing.
Yeah, well, right. And Dame Eleanor, what do you say?
Yes, I'll say Tigger as well.
It would help me if you picked different ones.
Fine.
Terrific. And now, Anne, which cat is, in fact, the bigger?
Well, Ian, I can now reveal that by just 9 grams and a quarter of an inch, the bigger cat is Boots.
Boots! Well, there you have it. That's... it. That's all it is. But honestly, in the room, it seems... Anyway, congratulations, Eleanor. Commiserations, Gregory. So that's a victory for the humanities this week. Making it 1-1 so far, but still, everything to play for over the, oh, good God, next 48 weeks of... Which of these cats is bigger than the other? Good night.
Homing pigeons! Follow the A56, bear left at Junction 11, left again at the roundabout, and keep going until you see the big Morrisons.
Hello, excuse me, do you have a moment to spare?
Sorry, I'm a bit busy.
Really, it won't take a second. You see, today I am just trying to raise awareness about celeriac.
Oh, right. No, actually, I do know about that. My niece has got it.
Ah, you see, this is exactly the thing. She hasn't.
What?
No, she might have a celeriac or some celeriac, but what she doesn't have is celeriac. What she probably does have is celiac disease, which is a different thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She
yeah, can't I know what it is, and I know what it isn't. It isn't celeriac.
Right.
Celeriac's a vegetable.
Okay.
It's the one that looks like a turnip and tastes like celery.
Sounds horrible.
I'm not trying to sell it to you. I'm just trying to raise awareness that it is a different thing from celiac disease.
Why?
Why does anyone do volunteer work? I suppose I'm just a public-spirited person.
Oh, all right.
Well, I'm not the real hero, though. The real hero is...
celeriac.
Batman! Celeriac is a vegetable.
Toothbrush! crush insects. Good work, guys. They have no idea. Stage two is go. Repeat, stage two is go.
John?
Oh, hi, Carrie. Margaret? Simon? What's up?
So, Laurie's doing pet tips now, then?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, ever since I wouldn't let him do them last series, he's been going on and on about them. I thought, in the end, might just as well let him do them.
Right, because the rest of us, we don't go on and on about doing things.
No, and can I just say how much I appreciate...
But we could do.
If that's what it takes.
Nice. Well, yeah, look, if you ever come up with something you'd like to do, by all means...
Oh. Here's an idea.
Right. Okay, Carrie, it's quite a long idea.
As long as it needs to be.
Right. Well, okay. Looking at the synopsis here, one thing that immediately leaps out is that it's quite a lot like Doctor Who.
No, it's not.
Okay. Because what it says is, it's Doctor Who, and all of the adventures of Doctor Who, except but though Carrie Quinlan is Doctor Who.
Yeah, exactly. Different actor. That's the twist. And also, on their one, he's called the Doctor, but on my one, she's actually called Doctor Who.
Right.
That's her actual name.
I see.
And it's me.
Yeah, no, I get that. And what, we do it in the Since You Asked Me spot, would we?
Yeah, could do, or maybe on television.
On television?
Yeah, like a spin-off of your show, but on television and just with me.
Okay. I'll see what I can do.
Now, for my bit...
Margaret, yeah.
I was thinking celebrity interviews.
Oh, OK. So, like, you doing impressions
no, no,
and...
No, real celebrities. So, it's my segment on the show, and each week I invite on one of my heroes, like Hugh Laurie or Glenda Jackson or Malala.
Right.
And then they interview me.
They interview you?
Well, yeah, obviously, it's my segment. So, like, maybe Hugh Laurie would ask me where I get all my different voices from, or Glenda Jackson would ask me about my struggle with opium. And maybe Malala would ask if I could sing Memories, and I'd sing it for her, and she'd be like, oh, my God, that's amazing. Will you do Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, now? And I'd be like, no, all right, Malala, thank you. Not a jukebox. Artist. Sorry.
No, sounds great. Now, what about you, Simon? What do you want to do?
Well, John, what I'd like to do, what I've always wanted to do, and I don't mean just on this show, I'm talking about the whole reason I became an actor, I would like to play a Radio 4 announcer who introduces a sketch which then turns out not even to have me in it.
Oh, Simon... Dreams can come true.
And now on Radio 4, Missed Connections.
Wednesday, 11:30 a.m. You, curly brown hair, red T-shirt, sitting at the top of the front deck of the number 24 bus, eating an apple. Me, blue coat, glasses, sitting on the lower deck at the back. You got on before me and got off after, so we never saw each other and are still unaware of each other's existence. But you would have been just my type. Call me.
Monday, 2:45 p.m. You, stripy top, dazzling smile, working behind reception at Palgrave Dental Clinic, Tiverton, Devon. Me, tending my croft in the Orkney Isles. We are perfect soulmates, but neither of us will ever know. Besides, you're 22 and happily married, and I'm 84 and gay. Oh, well.
Saturday, 5:35. You, grey blouse, parrot earrings, were coming out of Nicholson's travel book shop when you bumped into a shy guy with a dog who asked about the book you brought. It wasn't me. I was a samphire gatherer in 13th century Japan. Fancy a drink?
Well, since you ask me for a musical, don't be ridiculous.
I'm the club bore, not Andrew Lloyd Webber. The two things couldn't be more different. I mean, I don't even have a piano. Oh, no, wait, I do have a piano. In fact, come to think of it, there's rather an interesting story about how I came by it. So perhaps, after all...
Since you ask me for a musical, let me see. I've not done one before, but how hard can it be? I'll simply pause my tale of human sacrifice now and then for songs about how love is nice. Since you ask me for a musical, yes, of course. It runs at 7 hours long, past 5 encores. You're here till dawn, so try to stay awake for it. Lock the doors in case they make a break for it.
Oh, good Lord, he's off again. Who set him off this time then? Why would you do such a thing? And what's worse, you've made him sing.
Since you ask me for a musical, yes, of course. It runs at 7 hours long, past 5 encores. You're here till dawn, so try to stay awake for it. Lock the doors in case they make a break for it.
Oh yes, I also have a cello, a flute and a bassoon. And I can play them all at once. My story begins. One day, as I was walking down the street, I'd often walked down that street before, so I knew the way. Then, I happened to glance into a shop window just as a young woman opened the lid of a piano. Instantly, I was captivated. The 88 keys seemed to gleam up at me in an enchanting smile, and suddenly, right there in the street, I felt inspired to sing for no reason. So I did.
88 keys in a beautiful smile, 88 keys in a radiant grin, holding me fast, and at last it seems easy to sing.
I sang. In my voice, which was mine. But which suddenly seemed much improved. It was almost as if this piano had exerted some marvellous effect upon it. At once, I knew I had to own that piano. I had always wanted to get into music, and here was my chance. There was absolutely no doubt in my mind about my objective or the stakes of this story. But just in case, I sang a song about it.
I want to buy this piano. That is the thing that I want. My aim's to obtain this piano. I thought I should say so up front. Yes, I want to buy this piano. This one I'm looking at here. My aim's to obtain this piano. I trust I have made my
He wants a piano. He's made a very kind
to us random men in the streets.
Still, though, I bet sure he sings it again.
Yes, I want to buy this piano. That is what I want to buy. The thing that
So I went in and bought it. What? I've just explained how much I wanted it. At some length. Though, to be fair, the proprietors did their best to dissuade me.
Which one were you interested in, sir?
The Steinway, the Bechstein, or the Cursed?
The one in the window.
Oh, the Cursed? I can't recommend that one, sir.
Why not?
It's cursed. Anyone who goes near it becomes both able and compelled to sing.
I'd surmise that much, but that's a blessing, surely, not a curse.
Ah, that's what they all said, sir.
We've sold this piano many times before, you see.
How strange. Tell me more.
By all means, sir. Let's just step over to the cursed piano that makes people near it sing, and we'll tell you all about it. First we sold it to a maths professor, but it had a strange effect upon its proud possessor. She found her usual lectures on recursive numbers became instead a series of impassioned rumbas.
Former owner.
She was.
Former owner.
Because within a week she had disappeared. We don't know why, it's a little bit weird.
Then we sold it to a country vicar, who despite divine protection vanished even quicker. Shortly after preaching of the Lord Jehovah, did the syncopated rhythm of the bossa nova.
Former owner.
He was.
Former owner.
Because within a week he had vanished too. Don't ask us why, 'cause we haven't a clue.
Then we sold it to a chef,
and it happened a third time. No doubt you've heard enough, sir, to make you reconsider.
Oh, I'm sorry, I tend to tune out for the songs. Anyway, as I was saying, I'd like to buy this piano.
But
so I did. But my problems had only just begun. How was I to get it home? Taxi?
Where to, Governor?
The corner of 42nd Street and Sunset Boulevard. London. And, can you take my piano?
Your piano? I should, Coco. You'll never get that in here, no fear, you'll never get that in here. It's 9 foot long and 6 foot wide. How'd you ever think you're gonna get it inside? You're not never getting in no how, not in no cab of mine. So take your piano, the old Joanna, and stick it where the sun don't shine.
Luckily I cemented that obstacle another way. And for nearly a week, revelled in my newfound beautiful voice, much to the distress of my landlady.
Oh, Mr. Finnemore, I can't take this din no more. No, Mr. Finnemore, it just isn't right. It's cruel, Mr. Finnemore, singing HMS Pinafore, Allegro Fortissimo, and all through the night.
Ignored her pleas and sang on and on and on until, on the seventh day after my purchase, a curious thing happened.
88 keys in a beautiful smile, 88 keys in a radiant grin, holding
me fast and at last it seems easy to sing.
Come on, Fiddle.
88
teeth in a sinister smile, 88 teeth in a ravenous grin, opening wide and inside, oh good grief, there's a thing!
It's not a thing, Finnemore, it's a tongue.
You can...
Yes, yes, the magic piano can talk, how astounding! Now then, you've had almost a week's free trial of being musical. If you wish to continue, I'm afraid you're going to have to start paying the price.
Price? What price?
Oh, nothing much. You'll hardly notice. Since you asked to be more musical, here's the thing. You have to feed me something if you want to sing. It needn't be from anywhere where it'll show. I'm just saying to start with, perhaps your little toe.
Since you ask me for my little toe, let me see. I'm really quite attached to them and them to me.
Well, Finnemore, the time has come to make your choice. Do I take your toe or do I take your voice?
voice.
He won't stop at just your tone. Take our word, cause we should know. We're the ones he ate before. This harmonic carnivore.
Who are you, spectral voices, and where are you?
Former owners inside.
Since I asked to be more musical, here's the thing. I have to feed him something if I want to sing. It needn't be from anywhere where it'll show. All he wants to start with is my little toe. Since you asked me for a little toe, let me see. I'm really quite attached to them and them to me. But clearly now the time has come to make my choice. And so ends my tale of the time I bought a piano. And the piano ate me alive. And I was never seen again. Probably best not to think too hard about it. But you know, there are those who say that when the full moon shines into the music room, a new, ghostly, but beautiful voice can be heard from some hidden deep.
I want to leave this piano. That is my fervent intent. I wanted to get into music, but this isn't quite what I meant.
John Finnemore's Souvenir Programme was written and performed by John Finnemore with Margaret Capon-Smith, Simon Kane, Laurie Lewin and Carrie Quinlan. Original music was written by Susanna Pierce and performed by Susanna Pierce, Sally Stairs, Joanna Bailey-Stark and Caroline Arthur. The producer was Ed Morris and it was a BBC Studios production.
Owls! I'm sorry, owls. You're not pets. Harry Potter lied to you.
Harry Potter lied to all of us.